Thank you for listening to the LA Catholic Morning Podcast. To help us broadcast all the good, true, and beautiful, please go to our support page on archangelradio.com.
Time to wake up, Lower Alabama! Ha ha! From the original home of Mardi Gras, moon pies, and more, this is LA Catholic Morning.
Going home to Alabama, all the way to where the ocean meets the road.
Good morning and welcome to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. I'm Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor.
Friday. I got yelled at by Mike yesterday for using my Sharpie.
I didn't yell at
you. Not my Sharpie, my highlighter.
I was
the
one that pointed it out. It was making too much noise.
Yeah, the highlighter was making too much noise for Todd.
It's radio.
I'm highlighting over here.
It's radio.
Yeah.
These microphones
are very sensitive.
They are. And it's radio. If you were chomping your gum, we would say something too.
I threw out my gum.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Because it's radio.
Yes.
You see the sign on there, no gum.
Do you ever hear Ripster?
Ripster.
He's silent as
a mouse.
As a mouse!
They're not really silent. I know that.
Those were rats.
Oh, yeah, they were. Yeah, they were busy and loud.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Today, we're coming. It's Friday of the second week of Advent. So it's wide open on the general calendar.
Oh, okay.
Good day to be to be martyred, but you really don't in some of these seasons.
Yeah, you don't want to
do it in Christmas. In ordinary time. You don't have anything to compete with. And so just wait. Just wait till the summer.
Okay.
Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Grant that your people, we pray, Almighty God, may be ever watchful for the coming of your only begotten Son, that as the author of our salvation himself has taught us, we may hasten, alert, with lighted lamps, to meet him when he comes, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Advanced Transmission, on Highway 31 in Spanish Fort, celebrating over 25 years in service. It's Cars for Christmas. From now until December 17th, nominate friends, neighbors, or anyone else you think deserves a car and would be in need of a used vehicle in good condition. This contest is only open to residents of Baldwin County. Winners will be announced Wednesday, December 22nd. Go to advanced-transmission.com and click the events tab for details.
And here are your news headlines for Friday, December 10th, 2021. A verdict was reached in the Jussie Smollett criminal trial on Thursday, nearly 3 years after he told police two Trump-loving bigots beat him up, tied a noose around his neck, and doused him in bleach on a blisteringly cold night in January 2019. Jurors deliberated over 9 hours before reaching the verdict. Smollett's attorneys said immediately that he would appeal. The United States on Friday won an appeal in London's High Court to have WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange extradited to the U.S. to face espionage charges. Yeah, they're finally getting him out of there.
Wow.
Well, they're trying to. A British court opened the door for Assange, 50, to be extradited after overturning a lower court ruling that his mental health was too fragile to withstand the U.S. criminal justice system. American prosecutors have indicted Assange on 17 counts, including breaking a spying law and conspiring to hack government computers. Vatican Cardinal Luis Antonio Tagli consecrated on Friday the Cathedral of Our Lady of Arabia in Bahrain, describing it as a living sign of God's care for his flock. This prefect of the Vatican Congregation for the Evangelization of Peoples celebrated this in a live stream mass in the arc-shaped cathedral this morning over in Bahrain. It is the first Catholic cathedral in the Gulf region, and there's about 80,000 Catholics over there, mostly Asian, Filipino workers in the area.
Wow.
So they finally got a cathedral over there.
That's cool.
Longtime ESPN college basketball analyst Dick Vitale is relying on his Catholic faith and the power of prayer to help him through his battle with cancer. Known affectionately as Dickie V, the 82-year-old sportscasting icon was diagnosed with melanoma earlier this year and is now going under 6 months of chemotherapy. On Sunday, he tweeted out a picture of his deacon bringing him communion at home. And reminded people that if you are homebound, that you can get communion brought to you,
nice.
Which was nice. Weather high, 73, strong storms coming, and traffic is fog on the Bayway.
All right. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Friday mornings, always look forward to the Media Czar coming on. And this morning is a particular film that I think is great for Advent. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, good morning. Todd, I have to throw this in there because of something you mentioned a few minutes ago, that today is an open day on the general calendar. You have this habit of mentioning it's a good day to be martyred, and I just can't help but think I have this sort of movie scene playing in my head where Todd is like tied to a chair or something, or his head is in the guillotine, and they're about to drop the blade. And he sees the town square clock, and it says 11:57 p.m. And he's like, God's like, hey, would you mind waiting just like 5 minutes? Because tomorrow's an open day on the calendar.
My kids have already beat you to that. They jokingly were like, they're going to drag you out, Dad, and then you're going to look, and it'll be December 8th. And I'll be like, oh, I'm going to be eclipsed the rest of my existence. This is crazy. Too funny.
Yeah.
Too funny. Someone who we, of course, know historically, but we don't have any words spoken in the Gospels, and such an incredible saint is Saint Joseph, right, Tom?
That's right. And it's the documentary film that I watched last night actually brings up the fact that there are no recorded words of Saint Joseph. But an interesting point is made by a sister who's featured in the documentary. She says, we know that St. Joseph spoke, we know for sure one word that he spoke, and that was Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because in order for him to present his son for, I think it was for circumcision, part of the ritual is the father must speak the name of the child as part of the, so we know that he had to speak the name of Jesus as part of that Jewish practice. And so she said it's fitting that the only word we know that he spoke was the name of Jesus, because Jesus is the word. So we know that he at least spoke the word. And I thought that was a really cool way to look at it.
That is beautiful.
So this film, a little background, it's called St. Joseph, Our Spiritual Father. It's exactly 1 hour long. And I had not heard of this until just a couple days ago, when Caroline told me about it. She had seen a story about it. And it was produced and released actually, in October. And it was, the Knights of Columbus, film office, produced and made this film in response to Pope Francis declaring this past year the year of St. Joseph. So even though the year of St. Joseph is over now, this film is one of the results of that, and is great viewing, especially heading now into, you know, as we're in Advent preparing for Christmas, focusing on St. Joseph seems like a really appropriate thing to do at this time of year. So At first, the Knights of Columbus, and they've done this before, they go a different route than a lot of other, you know, like for example, The Chosen, we've talked about. They have an app, and they go the free streaming model of releasing their stuff. And then, you know, a lot of other folks will just put things on their website or on YouTube, or they'll find a streaming service, they'll host it, or they'll get it on Amazon Prime to get faith-based message across, or they'll have a special showing in theaters or something. Well, what the Knights of Columbus have done in the past, and what they've done with this film, is they work out deals. I guess they buy airtime. You know how you see those 30-minute or 1-hour infomercials on at weird hours of the day on your local affiliate?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the Knights of Columbus do something like that. They purchase or receive the airtime. Because I know, I believe, and Ellen, you might know this, that local affiliates have to dedicate a certain number of minutes per week to nonprofit or other programming or religious programming.
That is correct, and they sell to them at a special rate too. So if they do have to pay, it's not the grandiose commercial rates.
Okay, so that I'm assuming this is something like that. So the Knights of Columbus had this 1 hour documentary aired on ABC affiliates all throughout the country, and that started on October 10th and ran for about 6 weeks, spaced out all throughout the country. And I think it's savvy that they made sure it was at like 58 minutes and a certain number of seconds so that it would fit in that 1 hour airtime slot. And so that's a different way for people who've seen it. It was free broadcast basically into every single home in America, pretty much. The only thing is that, in a lot of these affiliates, the time that it aired was at like 2 or 3 in the morning. So you'd have to really be aware of it and have your DVR set. Other places it was on the weekend at noon or just other oddball times. But now, it is available for free on the Knights of Columbus website, which is KOFC, the letter KOFC.org. And you can just, like, last night we watched it and just, airplayed it to our TV. And it's, going into it, I did not have really any expectations because I knew it was a documentary. But I didn't know who was involved or anything like that. So I really didn't know what to expect at all. And my default is to have low expectations. That's just my personality. So, and I have to say I was pleasantly surprised. I found it very, very moving and very effective. It really crammed in a lot about St. Joseph from a lot of different perspectives in a 1 hour time span. It's the kind of thing where there's something in it for everybody. There are many, many experts called upon to speak about St. Joseph. For example, Father Donald Calloway, who wrote the book on consecration to St. Joseph, that a lot of people in our local area have done that consecration. And so he's involved with it. There are a couple of former professional athletes, a Major League Baseball player and an NFL player, who talk about the role of St. Joseph in their lives. There's historical accounts of amazing, miraculous events that occurred thanks to St. Joseph. In particular, there's a focus on the spring of 1945 when the Dachau concentration camp was full of prisoners, and there were a large number of Polish Catholic priests being held in that camp. And on April 14th, they began a novena entrusting their safety to Saint Joseph. And they tell the story on the same day that they started the novena, Heinrich Himmler signed an order for the execution of all Dachau prisoners. So 9 days later, at the end of the novena, when the 800 prisoners completed the consecration to St. Joseph, Dachau was liberated by Allied troops.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And then paperwork was found in the camp later indicating that all of the priests had been scheduled for execution later that evening.
Mm. Wow.
And they had been freed just hours before their execution on the ninth day of the novena. So mm-hmm. It's just one. There are about 7 different stories or testimonies that are given of a wide variety during the documentary, all speaking of the power of St. Joseph and the example of St. Joseph. And it really... It's incredibly moving. It's well produced. It moves quickly. There are a lot of other experts who chime in with their thoughts about things, including the Supreme Knight of the Knights of Columbus and Dr. Tim Gray from the Augustan Institute, and as well as others. Dr. David Schindler from the Pope John Paul II Institute on Marriage and Family in Washington. They also do a feature on, and I got excited about this because my son was a member of this council. They do a feature on the Knights of Columbus Council at the University of Notre Dame, which is the oldest college-based council of the Knights in the United States.
Cool.
And they also, they are the only organization at Notre Dame that owns their own building on campus. Wow. So every other building on the campus, even if it's used by an outside organization, is owned by the university. But this building is old and it's owned by the Council of the Knights of Columbus. And it's a very active council of young men there. And my son Chris was a member of this council. And so they do a feature on them doing the consecration of St. Joseph on campus. And it's, so there's, just a lot of great stuff in this documentary. It really, I found it very invigorating and very motivating. When I was done with it, I thought, you know, really, it is calling me to make a greater effort to really intentionally ask for the intercession of St. Joseph and ask for his help and look to him as a model. And it really, I would recommend this as viewing for all dads and sons, really all, you know, older kids in the family and parents during the Christmas break. I think it would be a really neat thing to get the family together for an hour to sit and watch this.
That is fantastic. And I love the takeaway, because sometimes we watch things and we're like, oh, that was really nice.
Yeah.
But you said some concrete things that I think not only are going to change in your life, then it's going to have an effect on your marriage and your family, right, Tom?
Oh yeah, yeah. And they give the testimony in the film of a couple of two different married couples who talk about the effect of St. Joseph in their marriage and changing things in their marriage, as well as Matt Burke, who is a former Minnesota Viking. He and his wife had several biological children and then decided to become foster parents and then ultimately adopt two other children. And so he mentions one thing that stuck with me. And here's a former NFL player who has a certain amount of fame and money. And he said, you know, I don't, because of my house full of kids and these adopted children, he says, I don't get to go fishing and hunting with my buddies, hardly ever, you know, like they like to do. And he said, that's okay. This is what I do. I make this sacrifice for my family. This is what I'm called to. And I thought it was really powerful. Like, just the whole message of, you know, real manhood means an emptying of self and a forgetting yourself and putting the needs of your family first. And that's part of the message of St. Joseph being silent in the Gospels, I think. That's a powerful silence, that he is not the focus. He is there for the support of his family, of Mary and of Jesus. And so he wants to point us toward them and be the foundation of support for them. And so fathers and families today, we need to be the foundation of support for our family. And the spotlight can be on them, and we can be there as, you know, who they can kind of lean on in the background.
Amen. One of the best dads I ever encountered. I mean, he was such a mentor to me. He's now deceased. But he said that living that life and embodying St. Joseph is in the nevers and the always. And I was like, okay, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. Please explain. He goes, there are certain things that a dad should never do. And there are certain things that a dad should always do. And we have to make sure that we've got those established and founded and grounded in our lives, because our kids need those pillars in the family. And that's established by the dad. Does that make sense, Tom?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it reminds me of another quote from Pope John Paul II in the documentary, where he said, the call of every man is the dignity of every woman.
Amen.
And I thought, wow, that's powerful. If a guy is struggling with pornography or, you know, sexual sin or infidelity or any of these things, to remember that quote, the call of every man is the dignity of every woman. I mean, there's no ambiguity there at all. And that is just so powerful.
And it is frustrating, because unfortunately the experiences in culture and the brokenness and sin, because I remember one time jogging early in the morning, and I came around a corner, and I don't know what this woman was doing out at this hour, but it was super early, and she was startled by me.
Coming home.
And no, because she was out
jogging.
Really early, yeah, mm-hmm. Kind of walking. And she kind of bolted for a house, and I'm like, ma'am, I'm safe. I'm safe. You're safe because I'm here. And she didn't know me. So she didn't realize I'm wearing a reflective vest. I had a Discman, and I'm dating myself, on, and I was listening to the rosary.
I'm like, lady, you're safe. And I thought, okay, that's unfortunate that women don't feel safe around men, and they should, right, Tom?
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, it's understandable that she reacted that way, but it's a sad statement in our culture that that is the reaction. And we, each one of us, needs to do everything we can to change that and to do what we can in our encounters every day. And I know time is short. I want to make sure we get the name of this in one more time. It is called Saint Joseph, Our Spiritual Father, and it is available for free on the Knights of Columbus website, which is kofc.org.
I would also add that as a woman with no man in my home, St. Joseph is my go-to guy to pray for. When something's going wrong, oh, St. Joseph, there's nobody here. You better help me figure this out.
Or call your friend and have him come over.
There you go. Tom.
Great.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom. You have a great morning.
Oh, all right, you too.
Keeping on the theme of Toms, we're going to come up with Tom Hoops next. We're going to talk about 6 foolproof family ideas for Advent. Maybe you're out of them, Todd. You need a little fresh information.
Always.
Yeah. Stay with us here. LA Catholic Morning continues.
Christmas music, it's awesome too.
Yeah.
It's got a good part of the...
evangelizing. That's what it does.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor. Mike the Great doing his impersonations over there. Ripster doing his thing. On the line, regular guest, Mr. Tom Hoops, who is the Vice President of College Relations at Benedictine College. We're looking at his latest article in Alatea. You can go to alatea.org. 6 foolproof family Advent ideas for failures like me. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
I think this article was written with me in mind, right? The things that we've tried and that just never stuck.
Yeah, I hate to say I'm an Advent failure because, you know, the church puts laws of expectation on Advent, especially for Catholics who are kind of rediscovering their faith. We don't want to do the whole let's celebrate Christmas before Jesus is born thing, so we want to stress Advent. But at the same time, we live in a culture where it's super busy in December. There's recitals to go to. There's Christmas pageants. There's Christmas plays. There's end of the year parties for the office. And then there's all the shopping to do and all the preparations. So it can be really, really easy to let the Jesse tree, for instance, drop. Mm-hmm. Where you read the thing every day and put a new ornament on every day, which is great. And I know families who do this. I think we've done it successfully for at least half of an Advent a couple times. but if you can do that, that's great. And I don't, you know, I don't want to say take the easy route if you are capable of doing these grand and wonderful things, which some people are, and I shouldn't make light of it at all. But often, I hate to say it, I failed personally. I'm putting it on me because I kind of told my wife, since she's got so many preparations to do for Christmas, I would take over kind of the Advent thing. And so the failure is squarely on my shoulders.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. But these 6 ideas that you have, though, what I like about them is that they're doable, Tom. And I think that's important in busy families, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, they're doable and they're actually kind of nice. So let me I'll go through a couple of these. By the way, you can find these articles now at excorde.org, E-X-C-O-R-D-E. So it's a little bit easier to find them there than at Alatea. But the first thing I say is to do a nightly rosary at the nativity set. Now, as soon as I say do a nightly rosary, you're like, seriously, this is like the foolproof idea? Because some people do that. So I say or decade. A decade is just 10 Hail Marys, one part of the rosary. And the thing with saying a decade at the Nativity set during Advent is that it's a really wonderful, beautiful experience. I mean, you sit there, you're looking at the baby Jesus and Joseph and Mary, and you've got the twinkling lights, and you've got the atmosphere of Christmas, and it really kind of drives home the meaning of the season. You look down, of course, not at the baby Jesus because you haven't put him in the manger yet. So you look down at the empty manger in your nativity set. We always put baby Jesus in on Christmas night, right before Santa comes with gifts, the baby Jesuses get put in there. In fact, I think maybe Santa puts the baby Jesus. I don't know how the baby Jesus ends up in our mangers, but he does on Christmas Eve. But saying a decade of the rosary, either the nativity decade or basically any of them, it is a great way to prepare. And then you can even, so what my kids do is they move the figures around during the rosary so that if we're doing the presentation, they'll pretend that one of the wise men is Simeon and they'll, you know, kind of put the baby Jesus in his arms and have Mary and Joseph in front of them.
That's cool.
Or they'll, they'll do various things like that. Anyway, so that's my first one. The second one I think is extremely important, and that's to pray for people without gifts. Now, you do this whenever you pray. You know, if you do the Advent wreath, you can pray then. If you do the nightly decade, you can pray then. But to actually say out loud that we are praying for those people who don't have gifts at Christmas does a number of things. I mean, the most important thing, I think, is it gets, you know, it encourages God to help those people who aren't getting gifts to try to get gifts or to get the graces that they need. The second thing, though, it does is in the child's mind is they start to realize, oh, okay, you know, I'm going to get gifts, and that's kind of a big deal, and that's not a given. In fact, there's places in the world where hardly anybody gets any gifts. So, you know, it kind of helps with that that grace of receptivity, that virtue of receptivity that kids need.
Amen.
I have another one on here, which is join with others. There's all sorts of various online communities you can jump on. I've been doing that Bible in a Year podcast with Father Mike Schmidt.
Oh, I love it.
And at first it seemed kind of odd. He kept talking about the Bible in a Year podcast community. And I thought, okay, well, we're all just listening to the same thing. But the more he talks about it, the more I realized, you know, it's kind of cool. It's all these different people doing exactly the same thing. And of course, the community that's doing exactly the same thing at Christmas, at Advent, is the church. So all over the world, you know, from Pope Francis to Catholics in the underground church in China to, you know, the Catholic Church where it's booming in Africa, that we're all in this together getting ready for Advent. The poor Australians are down there. It's like early summer and they're preparing for Christmas, right? So, we're all in this together in Advent, and it's easier to do this when you're aware that you're doing it with others.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. I love the idea of the mercy jar. Talk to us about that.
Yeah. So the any penitential season, you're supposed to do the prayer, the fasting, and the almsgiving. So I love how Father Michael Gately, in his book, You Did It to Me, kind of puts the fasting together with the almsgiving. And he says, this is something he did in college. So his friends all realized they were spending like way too much money on soda in their case. You know, for others, it might be eating out. For others, it might be, you know, who knows what you're spending your money on that you don't really need. And he said, what we started to do is we would skip that thing. So we'd fast from that thing that we didn't really need. And we'd put the money instead into a jar and then give that to a deserving charity or, you know, to help the poor. So that's what we do in Advent. We've got the mercy jar out. We're giving up various things and putting the money that we would have spent on those things in the jar. I need to perfect the second half of this, which is actually finding somebody to give money to, because I think we've got a ton of money in there now. Mm-hmm. But I have to figure out where to give it. But there's plenty of places. So as soon as I put my mind to it, I'm sure I'll find the right person to give
it's
it
nice
to.
Or
the
right problem to have. Exactly. Yeah. We have so much money. Yeah. We don't know what to do with it. What charity is deserving of this dog?
Yeah. Right, exactly. But that's a great thing to do, and it really connects with part of learning the gift of receiving things well is learning the gift of giving well. So Amen. This is a way to start that. So this is another one of my favorites is always this visit to the Blessed Sacrament. Okay, so it happens at some. It used to be happen back in the day. You'd go shopping for Christmas. You'd go to the mall. It'd be hard to find a parking spot. It would be hard to you'd have to wait in a long line at the mall. Well, nowadays, people tend to shop online more. They tend to not have these long waits at Christmas time. So I figure, if we had to put up with the wait, why don't you build the wait into your schedule? So whenever you do a Christmas errand, whenever you go to the grocery store or wherever you have to go to do something for Christmas, get stamps, whatever it is, stop by the Blessed Sacrament, stop by your church. If your church has perpetual adoration, that's the best. If they don't, that's just as good, because there's a tabernacle there where Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist. And kneel down and do a quick, what I do is the ABCs of prayer. I do the adoration, I count my blessings. I do a quick contrition and then ask for supplication or asking God for something. Just do a quick visit. It can be 5 minutes, it can be 10 minutes, it can be 3 minutes. And then just tell them, help me make this Christmas the best ever. And then head back out on your trip. And it takes less time than it used to take to find a parking spot at the mall. So that's kind of my consolation for why it's okay to spend the time doing it.
When I was reading that, I did want to comment on this, Tom, because I work for a church, for a parish. And part of my job sometimes is going into the church and repairing things. And when you go into the church with a noisy tool, you really don't want to run it while people are in there praying. And I cannot tell you how elated I am when I have to delay my work, because every time I go in there, someone is praying. Mm-hmm. It lifts my heart. There was one day I had to run a hammer drill to repair a pew, and it was an all-day affair of not being able to run it. Every time I went in there, someone was praying, and it just was wonderful. I was so happy that I was being thwarted. And not because I didn't want to do the job, but because I thought, this is what this church is for. This is why Christ is here in the tabernacle, right, Tom?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something that if you haven't picked up the habit of doing it, then it might, I don't know. I didn't do it for many years. And when I finally started to make visits occasionally, it just becomes a natural part of your day. And you start to realize, oh my gosh, this is helping my faith. This is helping me in so many ways to just stop by and say hi really quick to the boss on your way out to do something else.
Amen.
I've got one last thing here, and you can go to xcorde.org again to find these lists. And this one you have to go to because it has kind of a, you know, you click on a thing to get how to do this. But what we do, and this is a morning thing that we do in Advent, is we have a gift box with a removable lid, right? So it looks like a gift box. We put it under the tree once we get the tree. And we have this gift box. We have these slips of paper in there where we each pull out a piece of paper in the morning. And when I say we each do this, we don't do it every morning. We do it when we think of it. We do it maybe a couple times a week, four times a week, three times a week. But each paper has a different kind of resolution for little kids, big kids, or adults to do that day. So, for instance, little kids are not going to complain one day about being hungry between meals. Big kids are going to offer up a sacrifice during a meal. Adults will set aside some food to give away. And there's a whole list of them on there. But the idea is to recognize the gifts that you're already receiving from God, realize some way you can give them back to others or to God during Advent. And it's a nice little way. It's kind of exciting because you get to open a gift and pull a little slip of paper out and see, you know, what the new thing is for that day. So check that out at xcorde.org if you want details on that. And again, with all of these practices, it is never, ever, never too late to do them. We've got one of the longest Advents possible this year because Christmas is on a Saturday. So even if you started this on the fourth week of Advent or halfway through the fourth week of Advent, it still helps the minds of your children and your mind, frankly, prepare itself for Christmas and realize what's going on is a big deal.
Some of the other questions that people will ask is, when is the appropriate time to put the Christmas tree up during Advent, Tom?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, people all have their rules about this. You know, some people are day after Thanksgiving types. What we always do, and we always fight about this, we don't fight, we have
discussions.
We have conversations.
Discussions.
Uh-huh. Discussions, yeah. I'm always I want to get that thing up as soon as possible. I'm kind of a lover of commercial Christmas. My wife is more of a lover of real Christmas. I'm a lover of real Christmas too. I think she's right on this. But so what our kind of compromise position is on Gaudete Sunday, which happens to be this Sunday. So we usually will get a Saturday before. That's Rejoice Sunday, when the priest wears rose. It's not pink, it's rose. And when the pink candle, or the rose candle, I guess you'd say, is lit. So it's a day to rejoice, and we always put the Christmas tree up on Gaudete Sunday. My son, who's now married and living off elsewhere, called this yesterday and was kind of apologetic that they got their Christmas tree before Gaudete Sunday. So, so I like that he's, I'm giving him a guilt trip without even trying from a distance. But so that's what we do. We'll do that this weekend, and then we kind of decorate it as we go through Christmas, and decoration becomes part of the preparation for Christmas. I really like secular Christmas. I know that real Christmas is better, but I think that the world is recognizing that something is happening, something big is happening. And they don't want to say Jesus. They don't want to say that it's all about Jesus being born, because you're not supposed to, and you're supposed to be too sophisticated for that. But I think essentially everybody's realizing that we're having a great big party for Jesus. Even the people who are afraid to say his name. So I like celebrating secular Christmas early, but I totally get my wife's position as well, and I'll say that officially on the air right now.
No, that's yeah. And that's a good official statement, but I'm 100% in agreement with you, Tom, because I am a weird dude in that I sing all the time.
You're,
I mean, I probably sing in my sleep.
September?
I sing all the time. Not necessarily Christmas carols, okay. But during this time I can sing Christmas carols, and no one thinks I'm weird. They just kind of smirk. You can walk down the street and sing, and people are like, oh, he's got the Christmas spirit. Isn't that nice? After Christmas, I go back to just being the strange guy singing in the elevator.
Oh, that's not that far off. I'm in Tom Hoop's camp, too. I like to get my tree up around Thanksgiving, right after, and just, you know.
It's fun to decorate.
I know.
Fun.
I like to come home to the light.
You can bring cookies to the neighbors, and they don't call the police. I mean, it's nice.
Lucky us.
It's nice.
So Christmas is a dream holiday for guys, because the rest of the year you're not allowed to put up. You know, if you go to any place that a guy has decorated, it's all got flashy lights, like neon lights in a sports bar, or if you watch a football game, it's got these like robots who are doing crazy things in between as their bumpers. And you're not allowed to do any of that stuff until Christmas. Then suddenly it's okay to put up blinking lights, and it's okay to put up like fake evergreens with plastic red berries on them, and snow globes. And it's awesome. It's where maleness and femaleness kind of finally unite over decoration sensibilities.
Oh, Tom Hoops, thanks for joining us. Enjoy your Advent and getting your tree up this weekend.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Coming up, final segment Friday. It means it's our Sunday Gospel Reflection. Father Nicholas Napolitano is going to join us. So stay with us here on LA Catholic Morning.
Home is where the heart is, and my heart lives by the bay. Home is where the heart is, and my heart lives by the bay.
Welcome back to LA Catholic Morning here on Archangel Radio. Todd Sylvester with Ellen Taylor. Mike the Great's at the Command Center. Ripster's doing his thing. And in studio, Father Nicholas Napolitano, pastor of St. John the Baptist in Magnolia Springs and Our Lady of Bon Secours in Foley. Or do you call it Bon Secours?
It's in Bon Secours.
It's in Bon Secours.
It's in Bon Secours, right by the fisheries.
Indeed. Beautiful wonderful. Little church. So we're heading into already the third Sunday of Advent. Gaudete.
Gaudete.
You're going to be wearing some rose?
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
Mine, unfortunately, looks a little bit like Pepto-Bismol. I got to get a better one.
Okay.
I got to get a better one.
Okay. You ready to jump into Luke's Gospel?
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory
to you, O Lord. The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none. And whoever has food should do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said to him, 'Teacher, what should we do?' He answered them, 'Stop collecting more than what is prescribed.' Soldiers also asked him, 'And what is it that we should do?' He told them, Do not practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages. Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So, Todd, like you said, it's Gaudete Sunday.
Woo!
And every time I hear Gaudete, I go back to college in Latin. The T-E on the end, it means it's a command. You're going to do it. And every time I do that in my head, I hear my mom from growing up. And all I hear from her is, you're going to do it, and you're going to like it.
And you're going to like it.
So when we get to Gaudete Sunday, I hear my mom saying, you're going to rejoice, and you're going to be happy about rejoicing, and you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm. That sounds nice.
Well, that's what the church just said to us. Mm-hmm. The church,
maybe with a different tone.
She just said, Gaudete. No, she said, Gaudete. Rejoice. It comes from the very first line of the introit, the chant at the beginning of Mass, where the chant begins, Rejoice, Jerusalem. Well, then we have it with this reading. And you have, I always struggle with this every year, you have the church commanding you to rejoice, and you have the world commanding you to be busy and stressed.
Yeah.
I mean, whether you're in school, or you're working, or you're caring for a family, it just seems like everybody is uptight right now. It's 2 weeks until Christmas, and nobody's ever ready. And for every reason, that's a stressful thing in the world. And so the natural question is, okay, you want me to rejoice? Look at John the Baptist. What should I do then? How do I be happy? Well, soak up happiness, right? John the Baptist gives these commands to be generous, to be just, to be patient, to be kind, to be prayerful, to be grateful for what God gives. Basically, he gives the command, stop looking at what upsets you and look at God.
Amen.
Stop gazing into the darkness and see his light shining out from the darkness. Quick little tangent. So I spent theology on the Bourbon Trail in my parish for 2 years at the end of theology school. They all worked in the bourbon industry. They worked for Makers, and they worked for Woodford Reserve. And so I learned a lot about the process of making bourbon. Bourbon, after it's distilled, it's just this harsh white lightning, clear, stinging liquid. And it's only bourbon after it ages in an oak barrel for 2 years. And over those 2 years, the barrel expands in the summer and absorbs all the spirit into it. And then it contracts in the cold of the winter, and all the liquid comes out. And over years and years, that pattern of hot and cold, it takes on the flavor of the bourbon, or of the barrel that it's sitting in. And I've always, ever since like walking through the first rick house and seeing the line of barrels and hearing that described, I've always thought of Advent or the faith kind of in that same way, that we are born raw, right? That we're ready to take on like a sponge or like white lightning, the things that are around us, and we're ready to do it. That's what John the Baptist is saying. Stop complaining, right? Stop being selfish and greedy, because when we surround ourselves with greed, when we surround ourselves with stress, when we surround ourselves with the crises of the world, that's what we take on. We take on that bitter nastiness of taste. But when we surround ourselves with scripture, when we surround ourselves with the joy of God, when we surround ourselves with generosity and acts of charity and kindness, we take on those sweet qualities. We take on the flavor kind of the faith. And that's really where we ought to be focused, is on taking that of the faith. The other part of it, there's two other parts. One is it takes time, right? It can't be called bourbon unless it sits in the barrel for 2 years. And so it sits in the barrel for at least 2 years. And the longer it sits there, the more of the oak it takes on from the barrel. But also, it kind of expands and contracts. And sometimes the faith does that to us. It expands and we kind of relax and feel the joys of God and we feel his sweet consolations. But then it contracts and it constricts us and it forces us into conversion and change and it forces its way into our lives. Why do we see those struggles in faith as a problem? To me, it's God like pushing himself into me and making me holier. It's the acts of generosity and kindness really giving themselves into who I am and into my personality. this is where we should be. Christmas is still 2 weeks away. Right? Don't look at it as, oh my goodness, it's 2 weeks, it's no time. No, it's 14 days away from tomorrow. Right? We've got time. So, I mean, imagine what God can do if for the next 14 days you spent an hour every day in prayer. Or if for the next 14 days you offered some kind of generous suffering or sacrifice or charitable act to the people around you who need to see God. Imagine for the next 14 days if you invited people to journey with you to see God. That's a lot that he can accomplish in the next 14 days between now and Christmas.
Amen.
And so the church says rejoice. How you do it is you take on God's joy instead of taking on the stressors of the world.
See, but you've got the focus right, and I think that's the hard part, is getting our focus right. Like, our friends were complaining because we normally have a big gathering, and it's the annual gathering. We don't really get together because of the busyness of our lives, and I hate even using that terminology, but it's true. And they were stressing because they were trying to find a date that the majority of us could all get together, and they couldn't find a date. And they're like, oh, well, someone said they've got a recital that day, and they're in a play, and they got a ballet thing, and the chorus thing, and the sports, and they're freaking out, and their head's exploding. I'm like, calm down. I mean, there are going to be those years that it won't be all of us.
I'm in a group text with a group of friends, and we were trying to do the exact same thing, and we were struggling to find a date, and I can't take credit because it was someone else in the group text who finally said, look, I'm the only one who can't make it. Y'all have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, oh, now we're not stressed anymore.
Right.
We're just going to enjoy each other. And I think that, again, is true with God. You know, people stress out, I don't have time to pray. Just go do it. None of us have. I don't have time to pray. I got to drive to therapy on the radio. I got to go.
They drive so slow.
They drive so slow. They cut me off.
I'm behind a school bus. Oh, my Lord.
I was. But, you know, no one has time to pray. You have to make it. Right? Nobody has time to be together with friends. You have to make it.
I think that's about being intentional in things. And we are apt a lot of times just to let things slide by or you know, the extra effort. And really today, you have to be intentional in your prayer. You have to be intentional in your kindness and your focus, because the world will distract you things that are not important. And so really being mindful and making the time for prayer and a lot of other things that we should work on.
Well, I would add to that too. The world does distract us with things not important, but the world also distracts us with things that are dark and chaotic.
Yeah.
And the focus should never be on the darkness of the world, but only on the light of God shining out from the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Don't point at the black corner of the dark room. Point at the candle at the opposite end. Point at God.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Look at him.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. All right, so then when we are freaking out and we're thinking, I didn't get a gift for Aunt Susie, what do you recommend?
Don't do it.
The simplicity of, you know, Father Nicholas.
At the end of the day, Aunt Susie's going to be okay if you don't give her the perfect gift.
Mm.
Do what you need to do. I always do my Christmas shopping before Thanksgiving.
So oh, you're one of those.
Oh, oh my goodness, because I like Advent, and I don't want to be panicking through all of Advent.
Listeners are like, you're a jerk. They're lying right now.
Well, Angel's already got the shopping done in October, so, right?
Not this year, because we've been focusing on the wedding.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And you're working on the house.
Yeah.
The other part of it is, what if she got a gift late? Is that the end of the world?
No.
A Christmas gift on Epiphany? Make me the happiest priest ever.
Yeah.
Or Annunciation.
Or Annunciation. Oh.
Yeah.
That would be kind of cool. We should start that. Gifts on the Annunciation.
I'd be down with that.
Yeah.
I'd be down with
it's like
could
a baby
just
shower.
Have a mass. You could have a mass said for Aunt Susie.
See, but that's not fair. He's got that.
Oh, well, you could call him up and say, hey, oh, Christmas Eve.
I'll send you a Father card
Nicholas,
that says I'm
going to
do it on this day.
Yes.
That's good stuff. Can we be a blessing?
Absolutely. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down on each of you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Father Nicholas Napolitano, you rock. You're the best.
Thanks.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks for coming in.
Happy Advent.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Advent.
Uh-huh.
Happy Advent. We thank our LA Catholic Morning sponsor, Tool Expo. Tool Expo now has gift cards, the perfect gift for the builders in your life. Tool Expo is geared up for residential, commercial, and industrial contractors' needs.
With contractor pricing on all screws and nails, construction site delivery, tool repair, and service, visit toolexpo.com. Who's coming up on Monday, Mike?
Yes, on Monday, Jeremiah Harrison talks about his new illustrated liturgical calendars. We'll talk with Chris Faddis of Solidarity Health Share, and Father Timothy Vavrick discusses his article, Bishops Bind and Their Cross.
Awesome. Huh. What plans you got for the weekend?
Helping mom and dad unpack. Sorting out that kitchen.
So wonderful that they're right across the street.
Yeah.
That is glorious.
Run right over.
Helping them to get Judge Judy on the air.
I did. Yeah. We had to work on that again. We're going to work on that again over the weekend and teach them about streaming TV, not cable.
It's not fair.
I know. It's not fair.
We had three channels growing up, people. Three channels. That's it.
Thanks so much for listening to LA Catholic Morning. You're on Archangel Radio. God bless y'all.
Don't forget to call your mama. She loves you.
I'm coming home.